Nerdalog's own Andrew Bentley.
So I was writing something else for this, and then my computer broke. Just completely failed. But, you know, as the Lord giveth, yes. Or taking away the light. So while I was looking for my Windows license, tearing through everything in my room and in my closet, I stumbled on a box that actually moved up with me from Virginia to Chicago, to my first place, and over to my new place without me ever opening it. And I looked inside, and among everything else, I found everything I wrote in elementary school. Yay! So I haven't looked at any of this since elementary school, and I thought tonight I would take one of these, and we would walk through it together. This one is from fifth grade. If I could take everyone back 15 years. That was the last time I looked at this. I believe this is my take / shameless ripoff of the Trojan War, labeled the Eritrean War, or titled the Eritrean War by Andrew Bentley. Cover picture by Kid Pix. Yes! And there are illustrations in here. I'm not sure anyone here has met my friend Chris Rorys from back in Virginia. Oh, back he does. But so I went to high school with him, I went to elementary school with him, and he was a much more talented artist than I was. So I believe, I commissioned him to do the illustrations for this. They're in pencil, so they may not be visible to everyone. I'll leave this up here on a stool if anyone wants to take a look at this. Okay. Here goes. The Eritrean War. Demancus, general of the Eritrean Legion, sat at his table in the grandest tent. For 12 weeks, they had been besieging the city. Chies. I'm going to say Kis. Kis. They'd been besieging the city Kis, but to no avail. "I don't suppose you have any idea about a tactic," he asked his lieutenant Tellus. "Well, we could build a wooden horse and..." "Oh, silence," roared Demancus. "You're the 57th person to suggest that." Okay, so apparently I do have some sense of irony about it. "Sorry, sir," gulped Tellus. Just then, a muscular man wearing armor with jet black hair and a mustache walked in. Oh my. Demancus recognized the man as Silenus. Silenus was the son of Ares and a mortal woman. When young, he had been attacked by a creature called an Alpaxi. It had the head of an elephant, the upper body and arms of an alpaca, and the legs of a chimpanzee. You see, it's a subtle portmanteau. The beast had pounded his chest in and then left him for dead and clambered away. This is a picture, I guess, of a dude. Ares had swooped down and taken him to Hephaestus, the smith god, whom he begged to make Silenus a bronze chest that would grow with him. Hephaestus did, and Silenus had it to this very day. Now he was in Kis, the Alpaxi capital of the world. Bad choice. Sir, reported Silenus, there's a herd of Alpaxis charging towards the camp. It is suspected that Kisians stirred them up. Then go stop them, Demancus said. Bring Toron, Zeno, and Nicias as well. All right, conceded Silenus. Paragraph break. Cydria moved towards the Eritrean camp to set the prisoners free. She heard crashing in the forest, but before she could move, four men came hiking through the trees. One of them yelled, "A spy! Zeno, take her back to camp." Oh, this is an Alpaxi. Cydria recognized two of the men. The lanky man with brown hair and stubble was Colonel Toron, and the other was General Silenus. The ancient Greeks apparently use modern military ranking systems. As she was forced through the so she was captured. As she was forced through the foliage, she began to think of a plan. Three sets of ellipses.
Oh my god.
Zeno was back with the other three now, and all four of them were crouched in the trees. Hearing the sounds of hooves on dirt, the party readied their weapons. When the herd passed by, Zeno launched an arrow which lodged itself in the neck of one of the beasts, which fell in its path, spurting blood. This, however, alerted the other beasts to the location of the men. One of them lumbered over to the tree where the men were and grabbed Zeno in its trunk. As Zeno screamed, the Alpaxi squeezed harder and harder until finally Zeno's head could not stand the pressure and exploded in a gush of blood. This is, I think, an Alpaxi getting speared in the neck. The beast tossed the carcass away like a sack of garbage and began to run with the rest. Silenus, Toron, and Nicias jumped down and pursued the herd of Alpaxi. They raced ahead of the herd and crossed a stone slab that served as a bridge across a canyon 100 feet down. When the herd got onto the slab, all three of them pushed, sliding one edge of the stone over the edge, causing the herd to fall and smash and impale on the rocks below. Well, Toron grinned, that settles that. The lookouts in the tower... Okay, so scene change here. The lookouts in the tower scanned the nighttime horizon. One of them shivered as the bitter cold of the night seemed to pierce his tunic. And my teacher has put like a check mark here indicating, I guess, that was well phrased. Abruptly, he heard the sound of marching feet, and which he can distinguish from hooves on ground, by the way. And a creaking and groaning and the sound of wheels moving across dirt. In the name of Zeus, what is that? Cut off. He was cut off as a burning ball of rock hurled out of the sky and crashed at the base of the tower, instantly surrounding it with flames. Flames licked up at the other man's legs as he grabbed his sword and rushed... Okay, I've consistently spelled sword S-W-O-A-R-D. and rushed out right into a man with a raised battle axe. Oh, this is, I believe, the explosion here.
Oh.
I think it's been amplified for dramatic effect. Right into the man with the raised battle axe. The Achaean stabbed his sword through him and leapt across the body to receive a blow from another battle axe across the face, neck, and shoulder. The soldier touched a torch to the body, engulfing it in flames, which seems like overkill. The other Achaean panicked and dropped his torch in a barrel of oil. Okay, first of all, here's a dude getting face hacked. And then... kaboom, and I decided it was necessary to use two full lines of the for the word kaboom, and follow up with 4 exclamation points, the most dramatic number of exclamation points. The man was thrown from a newly formed skylight, and fell to earth a burning lump of bone and roast flesh. Seeing their job done, the strike force moved away. The strike force brought a catapult, I guess. Cydria, seeing her guard finally doze off, reached through the bars and grabbed his keys. Okay. The other prisoner silently cheered as she unlocked the door, drew her knife, and pressed it against the guard's throat. She ignored the gurgling noises and the blood bubbles coming from the guard's throat, and removed his armor. She then donned it, and she and the other slaves... rushed off into the night. Very efficiently done, you have to admit. The next morning, Demacus found the empty cell and dead guard. He was so enraged you could practically see the steam bellowing from his ears. Okay, and here he is with steam bellowing from his ears. And Chris has made the decision that he's so angry he's actually hovering a few feet off the ground with little motion lines to indicate how angry he is. His face was bent in a frown as he approached Nicias. There is a girl in the forest. She has escaped the prison and killed a guard. She may be wearing Eretrian armor. Kill her anyway. If you do, you will receive a nice reward. Yes, sir, Nicias grinned. See, I think the Greeks are actually supposed to be heroes in this, but not so much. Cydria had removed the heavy armor, but when she heard a crashing, she donned the armor and drew the sword. Suddenly, Nicias rushed out of the bush. I'm not sure why I felt the need that she to have her take off the armor and put it back on. But Suddenly Nicias rushed out of the bushes, his sword held high, and chopped down Cydria. Or rather, where she had been. Cydria had dodged the blade, backed into the forest in the direction of the former stone bridge. Nicias found her there and jabbed at her, but she twirled, backing him up on the cliff. "I surrender," he yelled as he threw his weapon down at his feet. Cydria dropped her weapon too, then kicked Nicias in the upper groin. Nicias bent over and lost his balance. Screaming, he fell end over end until he joined the Opaxi at the bottom of the canyon. Cydria picked up the weapons and moved back into the... Cydria is cold as motherfucking ice. And here she is, booting this poor guy. The unarmed man who had surrendered. Back at the camp, a great hubbub was going up. Achesian had come to offer his services. Demachus had constructed a plan which was sure to fell Kees. That night, the Kesian, named Icos, led Demachus, Toron, Silenus, and Tellus, covered by shrouds and on horseback, to the gates of Kees. "Halt! Who goes there?" asked the guard. This is a man on horseback outside the gates of Kees. "The Greeks are getting careless. It's Icos. I found only one guard protecting the prisoner, whom I knocked out. These are the prisoners." It actually was that easy to rescue the prisoners earlier, so he's not really lying there. Icos announced, Tellus whispered to Demachus, "Are you sure he can be trusted?" "He's not stupid," Demachus said. "He knows that sooner or later we're going to beat the Kesians. He wants to be on our side when we do." Demachus laughed to himself and trotted his horse into the opening gate. It was a boring night for the guards, at least until they were suddenly attacked and killed. Which would liven things up considerably. Their bodies were then thrown over the wall. Toron and Tellus opened the gates, and soon the Eretrian army surged into the city. Most never knew their... Uh-oh, a page has come off here. Okay, here we go. Most never knew they were being attacked until they were staring at an Eretrian soldier or their house was on fire. Here are some houses on fire. Only the old were spared, for Demachus' father had been killed in a raid at the age of 50, and he had pity on them. After a while, the fires went down, and those still alive were told they were free to go to Greece with them and live. Which... Okay, fine. And so, as an Eretrian fleet sails... Okay, I'm switching tense. And so, as an Eretrian fleet sails into the night, our story ends. Or does it? Oh, this is so bad. Okay. Cydria escaped on a boat to Greece and ended up marrying Toron. Strong female character. On the voyage home, Tellus was dragged underwater by a scaly amphibian creature which climbed aboard the ship. Demachus and Silenus continued their career in the army, and Icos was given a reward for helping the Greeks. End of story. After that, rather, clearly I hit whatever the page requirement was for the story for class, and I was like, epilogue, done. I guess Chris was not available to do the last page drawing, so instead, I have drawn it. I believe this is supposed to be some sort of, like, mansion, and this misshapen lump of flesh at the bottom... I think Icos relaxing in some sort of swimming pool. Thank you very much.
Andrew, that was magical.
Thank you.
Are you sure you want that to go on the podcast? Like, what if some Hollywood producer is like, oh man,
snaps that right?
Yeah, exactly. You gotta be careful with intellectual property.